From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Last week, star Minnesota Viking running back Adrian Peterson was indicted in Texas on a count of reckless or negligent injury to a child after he used a switch, a small tree branch, to discipline his four-year-old son. It left welts and sparked an uproar. But corporal punishment of children is not rare in American homes. Spare the rod, spoil the child, was the old adage. What about now? Many say, don't do it. This hour on Point, the Adrian Peterson story and disciplining children. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. In the 21st century, are spanking and the switch outdated, counterproductive? Have you moved on? Should we all? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. First, more news on Adrian Peterson out today. David Steele, NFL writer for SportingNews.com, joins us with the latest. David Steele, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
So the Vikings brought him back, but that wouldn't hold. What drove them to now say, no, he's removed from the team?
The threat of sponsors removing themselves from the team is really what pushed this along. The biggest name to the or big money name to bubble to the surface was Anheuser-Busch, which sent a letter to the NFL saying, "We're monitoring this. We're watching how you guys handle this, and you know we're going to see what you guys do before we decide how we're going to go forward with our partnership." And of course, you know how big Anheuser-Busch and all their products, Budweiser, Bud Light, yeah, everything, how tied they're in with the NFL. Once they put their name into the middle of all this, and Radisson had already pulled out, and Nike had pulled Adrian Peterson's jersey from the shelves in the Minneapolis area, some of the other smaller sponsors began to pull away and back away. He was taken off the Wheaties box. The idea from the very beginning was that if the sponsors started to hit the NFL and their owners in their wallets, that's when you would see definitive action on any of these issues that the league has dealt with.
The
first sign that was happening.
You watch beer commercials begin to maybe slide away, and Wheaties boxes, the NFL pays attention. The way this season has turned into a kind of court of public opinion around football, of all things. This was Monday. Minnesota Vikings general manager Rick Spielman explained to reporters then why Adrian Peterson was reinstated after having sat out for one game.
"We feel strongly as an organization that this is disciplining in a child. And whether it's an abusive situation or not, or whether he went too far disciplining, we feel very strongly that that is the court's decision to make."
David Steele with Sports.com. At this point, what do you see coming here? SportingNews.com, you're reporting. Do you see this all depending now on a guilty or innocent verdict? If he's guilty, does that mean that he's no longer this great NFL star going to be playing?
They're in position right now to sort of negate that as even a factor. Because what they did, you know, it's funny you say this morning, it was really in the middle of the night. Tuesday going into Wednesday, what they did by sitting him down and putting him on this special exempt list, which most people didn't even know existed, they're prepared now to say, "You're not going to be around the team at all the rest of the season until this all pans out," which is really, it's the opposite. It's the polar opposite of what they were saying before. At first they were saying, we're prepared to keep him on the field and keep him playing as long as the due process is still being worked out. Now they're saying, until due process works out, we're not going to have you anywhere around. So that tells you that they had their finger to the wind. They saw the reaction to that very statement that the Vikings general manager made. They saw the incredible backlash publicly and financially and among their sponsors, and said, "We have to do this a totally different way now, because this is going to really, we're going to take a huge hit on this, and we can't afford to take another hit like this."
And if due process in Texas goes to a guilty verdict, what then? Is this a surmountable thing now in the NFL, or has it become a sort of a tighter standard? No, he was convicted on this. He can't play in the National Football League.
Yeah, there are so many signs that they have to just redo just everything they've done so far with personal conduct. And that was, you know, Commissioner Roger Goodell's mantra from the time he came into office, was that he was going to be the sheriff in town in disciplining players and improving the image and showing the public that they take these things seriously. And that's gone the complete opposite way. With the tenor of things going right now, if Adrian Peterson is found guilty, it may be a long time before he returns to the NFL. I'm not going to say never, because mm-hmm. he's still fairly young, but he's old for a running back. And he was due to make a lot of money the next couple of years on his Vikings contract. So this is also convenient for the Vikings. You can't factor that out of this. So it's going to be interesting to see what sort of interest there might be, but it might be a lot longer than just this season that Adrian Peterson is away from the NFL.
David Steele, NFL writer for SportingNews.com. It's always great to hear from you, David. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
It's gone way beyond the sports world, but there's been plenty of controversy even right there. ESPN's Chris Carter, former Minnesota Viking himself, got really emotional during Sunday's NFL Countdown, talking about growing up and being disciplined, hit by his mother.
My mom did the best job she could do, raising 7 kids by herself. But there are thousands of things that I have learned since then that my mom was wrong.
Yes. Thank you.
It's the 21st century. My mom was wrong. She did the best she could, but she was wrong about some of that stuff she taught me. And I promised my kids I won't teach that mess to them. You can't beat a kid to make them do what they want to do.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thousands of things we have learned since then.
Is everybody on board? Well, apparently not. Also on Sunday on CBS Sports, the NFL Today, Hall of Fame basketball player Charles Barkley said that African-American parents, among others, but in particular, use corporal punishment, he said, in the South, and that's just how it is.
We spank kids in the South. I think the question about did Adrian Peterson go overboard? But listen, Jim, we all grew up in different environments. Listen, every black parent in my neighborhood in the South would be in trouble or in jail.
Let's look at this issue of the disciplining, quote unquote, of children, of corporal punishment, the spank, the SWAT, the switch. With us right now, George Holden joins us from Dallas, Texas, professor of psychology at SMU, Southern Methodist University, specializes in parenting, discipline, family violence. He's a board member of the Child Abuse Prevention Center in Dallas and author of the book Parenting, A Dynamic Perspective. George Holden, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Good to be with you.
It's great to have you. And with us from Austin, Texas, Elizabeth Gershoff, developmental psychologist, professor of human development, family sciences at University of Texas at Austin. Elizabeth Gershoff, welcome to you as well.
Hello, Tom.
Hi, Elizabeth. We've heard you talk about American attitudes on spanking, using the switch, getting physical when it comes to disciplining. How does it break down these days? How widespread is it? What portion of Americans still do it? What portion have turned away from all that?
Well, it's gone down in the last few decades that we know of. Around 90% of Americans were in favor of hitting back in the 60s. Now that's down to around 3/4 of Americans, so it's gone down somewhat. And we also know that most parents still do spank at some point. I think they spank fewer times and less often than they did a couple decades ago, but upwards of 80% of parents still do spank their child at some point.
I think I even heard you say something near that number once a year. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's when surveys ask, they usually ask about it in the last year. So most parents will say they've spanked their child at least once in the last year.
Excuse me, George, what's the legality here? Is it illegal? Is it legal? Is it illegal anywhere?
In the United States, it's certainly still legal for a parent to hit a child. It's not legal in schools in all but 19 states for a school official to hit a child, but in the home it's still legal in the United States. 39 countries, though, have banned all forms of corporal punishment of children. So parents or teachers or anyone else is not legally allowed to slap, strike, or hit a child.
The law tends to be interpreted, I'm reading here, as force can be used as long as it's reasonable. How's that interpreted, Elizabeth? What does that mean?
That is a good question. Every state considers that differently. Every state has a child abuse law, and they define what abuse is, but it's very vague. And what's interesting, in some states, they actually say in the law that excessive corporal punishment can constitute physical child abuse. And so what that tells you is that despite the intent of the parent, an act can still become physical abuse. And that's what we see in the case of Mr. Peterson. Even though his intention was to discipline and correct his child's behavior, he disciplined too hard, too long. He was obviously much stronger than his son and really hurt him. And so even though his intent was to discipline his child, he clearly abused and injured his child.
The report on this disciplining said cuts and bruises, welts on the child's back, buttocks, ankles, legs, scrotum, defensive wounds on the child's hands. This was CBS on Friday reporting on the cuts and bruises on Adrian Peterson's 4-year-old son.
Photos in the police report show the boy had a number of lacerations on his thighs, bruise-like marks on his lower back and buttocks, and cuts on his hands.
George Holden, have you seen the photographs? They're out there. Does it look to you like reckless or negligent injury to a child?
I have. I think in most states that those photos would be considered as strong evidence for the fact that physical child abuse has taken place.
To me, that looked way beyond what most parents would contemplate, even if they are spankers or switchers, those welts and bruises. Do you agree, George?
Well, yes, but the thing is, one of the problems with corporal punishment, spanking and slapping, is that parents don't intend to injure the child when they begin discipline, but it's the most common reason why an incident can escalate into child abuse, that the parent is disciplining and gets out of control.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the NFL's Adrian Peterson and the hot issue of corporal punishment for children. Spanking, the switch, discipline, corporal punishment. George Holden is with us, professor of psychology at SMU, Southern Methodist University, author of Parenting, A Dynamic Perspective, joins us from Dallas, Texas. From Austin, Texas, Elizabeth Gershoff is here, developmental psychologist at UT Austin. George, you've looked at this a lot. How do you think about the effectiveness of corporal punishment maybe even the term disciplining is controversial here, but in child rearing, George?
Well, both my research as well as other studies are amazingly consistent that corporal punishment is ineffective. And the only thing it's effective for is the immediate compliance of a child, perhaps. But it doesn't work a couple of minutes down the road. For example, I recently published a study where we audio recorded moms in the home. And in the course of those recordings, we heard 41 instances of corporal punishment. And in 73% of the cases, the kids were misbehaving within 10 minutes. So kids are not learning from corporal punishment, which parents think they do, but they actually don't. And it's, for a variety of reasons, it's counterproductive and can result in a lot of unintended negative consequences on children.
Not getting the message from corporal punishment, Elizabeth, negative consequences like what?
Well, one of the most common consequences we see is aggression, and that really makes sense because children are learning that you can hit other people to get what you want, especially if you're in control or if you have some kind of power or strength over them, because they're seeing that when their parents hit them. So there are many, many studies showing that the more children are spanked, the more aggressive they are over time. We also see that the more children are spanked, the more behavior problems they have over time, including lying, stealing, things like that. We see an increase in mental health problems like depression and anxiety. We see that parents and children have more difficult relationships. Children have trouble trusting their parents after that. It's hard for them to get close to them. We're seeing now some relationships with children's cognitive ability. So they're doing less well in school, even some effects on IQ. There have been some recent studies showing that the more children are hit and the harder they are hit, we're actually seeing changes in their brain structure, which we're still in the beginning of understanding why that's actually happening, but we're seeing real physical changes to children's brains. And I think the most troubling consequence we see with corporal punishment is that when parents spank their children, there's an increased risk for physical abuse. And as George alluded to earlier, about 80% of cases of physical abuse started out as discipline. Parents did not intend to hurt their children. They were not I think most Americans think parents who abuse children are mentally ill, they're crazy, they hate children, but that's really not the case. Most of the cases of physical punishment or physical abuse started out as parents trying to teach children a lesson. And that is really a tragic circumstance, that parents don't really mean to hurt their kid, but they seem to not understand that they're hurting their children, or think that hurting their children is a way to teach them, and that really is just not the case.
Here's the sound of a few parents around the country thinking about corporal punishment. Here's a man in Oklahoma City telling News on 6 that spanking builds character.
That's how I got to where I am today. It molded me. Spanking does mold. And the Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. So at some point, you got to do the proper discipline.
Is a mother in Waterford, Connecticut, saying, talking with WTNH News on Monday, saying, yeah, but there's a line.
How a parent disciplines their child is their choice, definitely. But I think there's definitely a line where it becomes abuse and too much.
And a father in Charleston, West Virginia, telling WSAZ that there's a line when the beating leaves marks in his mind.
Paddling is a paddling, and a beating where you leave marks and bruises and so forth is getting close to child abuse.
George Holden, there's clearly a distinction when there's serious injury here, but what about there's a kind of exemption carved out there for paddling, for the swat, the spank that's not, that doesn't leave marks, that doesn't leave a wound. Do you make, I mean, obviously you'll make distinctions here about degree of injury, but you don't like it, and do you not like it even when it's what many families might consider light, George?
Right. In my view, spanking, paddling, slapping is never needed and, in fact, should never be done. To introduce a new idea, all individuals have a right not to be hit by anyone. And we have in the United States this exception that we think it's okay to hit a child. But it really is not, and many parts of the world have recognized that children have a right not to be hit or assaulted by anyone, and therefore have gone ahead and banned all forms of corporal punishment. So I think we'd make great progress in reducing violence in our country if we began with our children and stopped hitting them.
Elizabeth, why does it remain so prevalent?
Well, one of the reasons parents continue to spank is because they themselves were spanked, and our own parents are our best models for how to do parenting. And I think what's interesting is when parents say, I turned out okay because of spanking, the research clearly shows that's not the case. So I think what's happening is people are turning out okay because their parents are doing all kinds of other things that we know are good for kids. They're reasoning with them. They're leading by example. They're praising them when they're doing the right thing. They're guiding their behavior. And it's those things that help us turn out okay. I think people remember the spankings because they're very memorable. They can be somewhat traumatic for people, and they're kind of burned into our memory. So people remember those. They don't remember all the times they were sat down at the kitchen table to have a long talk. Those are not as memorable. And so what I like to think is that most of us who were spanked, and most adults these days were spanked, including myself, we turned out okay in spite of spanking, not because of it. And we've learned so much more about what helps children, that to protect them, we need to not hit them. Just like we've learned things like we now need to put children in car seats and seat belts. And when I was a child, we didn't have car seats in our car. We didn't have seat belts. Do I think I turned out okay because my parents didn't put seatbelts on me? No, I think I was lucky. I think I was lucky we didn't get in a car accident. Do I think my parents were terrible parents for not putting me in a car seat or a seatbelt? No, they were doing what they thought was normal at the time. And so I think what we're seeing is that norms can change, behaviors can change as a society. Now it's illegal not to put your child in a car without a car seat. And so I think we're starting to see in the U.S. a change in attitudes about hitting children. As George mentioned, there's been a much bigger shift in that around the world. But these attitudes can change. It just takes time.
Lots of changing opinion going on, as you said. Those who say spanking is acceptable as punishment. American numbers down, what, from about 84% in 86 to 70% in 2010, 2012. Differences regionally, culturally, born again Christians more likely to use spanking than others. There are political differences, if you want to look at it that way. 538, the Nate Silver's outfit, found Republicans say 80% have been in favor of spanking, 65% of Democrats. Regional differences, even racial differences.
came up when we had Charles Barkley, very prominent in the days after this this whole thing blew up. Here he was again on CBS Sports, NFL Today Hall of Fame basketball player, saying African-American parents in the South use corporal punishment.
I'm from the South. Whipping is, we do that all the time. Every black parent in the South is going to be in jail under those circumstances.
George Holden, Elizabeth Gershoff, standby. Goldie Taylor joins us right now from Atlanta, opinion writer, MSNBC contributor. Southerner, Goldie, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Lots of people do this or think it's okay in many parts of the country. Charles Barkley was very out there making this case that if you're black and Southern, this is just the way things go. Is that right, Goldie?
Well, in so many ways, Charles Barkley is right. In so many other ways, he's wrong. The traditions of corporal punishment do stem from largely culturally specific traditions. The more to the left of the wealth scale you are, the more likely you are to engage in corporal punishment.
You mean the poorer?
The poorer you are. Mm-hmm. It seems to me that, you know, if you're from the South, if you are have more of a leaning to biblical traditions, if you rely on spare the rod, spoil the child as your mantra, particularly in the African American community, where a faith based raising of children is a very large and embraced tradition among us. But what I would say is that, you know, while those traditions continue to persist, you know, we turned away from things like, you know, not putting your child in a car seat. Secondhand smoke, we know, is now dangerous for everyone. And so we don't do those things. You are frankly asking people to turn away from their parents, turn away from their grandparents, people that they idolize, people that they, you know, have, you know, sort of romantic notions about. You're asking them to reject their love by saying that their form of discipline was wrong. And so it isn't simply a, this is what is best for my child. You're asking them to reject a heritage, and that's very difficult. But I'd also challenge this Bible verse that people are quoting, spare the rod and spoil the child. The rod in biblical days was used to guide the sheep. It wasn't used to beat them. The rod in Psalms 23 was used as a comfort. It was never used as a disciplinarian tool. And so you'll never find the word of Jesus saying, whip your child. And I think that what we have done is taken the Bible and used it to advance, you know, our cultural norms, to justify our cultural norms. And so many
it's been done before.
It's been done before. Well, it was used to justify slavery. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at the Bible in that context, you know, isn't stoning of a woman okay if she commits adultery then? And so if you take this a step further, the rationale really does sort of fall apart. But on the face of it, the real issue is you are asking people by rejecting spanking and corporal punishment to reject their heritage, their ancestors, their parents, the people that they have come to know love them.
Goldie, let me turn to listeners in well, a little bit north of you, but not so far. Camille in Charleston, South Carolina. Camille, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Tom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
2 points. One is I was hoping your guest could speak a little bit to modeling, behavioral modeling. The word discipline keeps getting used. However, what is being modeled by the parents is how to deal with frustration, because generally that's what's going on with the parent when they dish out what's called discipline.
Yep.
Additionally, if you'll let me, children, in my experience, seem to be treated as property.
Need really you say enough. Need to be treated or
are treated?
Are treated? Yeah. Okay.
Are treated very much like physical property to do with as one pleases.
Camille,
I would be interested if any research has been done in terms of that and child abuse.
Property, do as you please. I mean, we know there are laws. We know there are limits. We know there are things that aren't good ideas. Even with property, you want to treat it right, but this is much more than property. But Camille, we've got it, and we'll look at both of those. I appreciate your call. Let me hold those right here. Let me get a couple more, and we'll come to Camille's question. Mohammed in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Mohammed, you're on the air.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm all right, Mohammed.
Yes, the real issue of child, so-called child abuse when you're disciplining children is based on not only the Bible, but you have to look at the society. This society has been a violent society against people of color, people that were thought to be different. So to have it creep down into your disciplinary hardship dealing with children. A four-year-old, surely it might be just a little too much for the four-year-old child if you try to discipline a four-year-old, which you don't have to really do too much to a four-year-old.
Yep.
But what about a single parent with a 15-year-old son that's unruly, disrespectful, and talks back? So what you have to do to discipline them, you've got to discipline them in that way, because what happened to them, they'll get lost in the streets.
But Muhammad, you start whopping on a 15-year-old, you may have a real problem. I mean, that's a
Well, not when they're a child, because it happened with mine. He was 13, and mm-hmm. figured he was old enough to not be disciplined, but he was wrong. And to this day, it has turned out to prove me right in that. But you have to manage it well. You can't burn them with cigarettes and crazy stuff like that. But
Muhammad, our time's short before the break, and I want to pick it up. Goldie, can I come first to you with that? This Muhammad saying, look, you know, kids can get off the rails and it can have very destructive repercussions for them. Parents kind of up against it sometimes. And it sounds like Muhammad wants this tool in his toolkit, you know, as one of his parenting tools, despite the advice we're hearing today. How do you feel about that, Goldie?
You know, I have four grown children, all in their 20s, all largely successful. And some of them had challenging teenage years. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that if you have to strike your 15-year-old, you've already lost the game. You've lost the communications game. You've lost the engagement game. You lost on so many fronts. If that is the tool that you have to rely on at 15, I think that parents model behavior for their children. And a 15-year-old, if they feel like there's that kind of rejection at home, this isn't keeping them from the street. It's doing the converse. It's driving them to the streets. I come from a black family. Mm-hmm. Where there is not a man alive in our family who was born before 1986. Every single one of those men were disciplined as children, and I mean harshly. And as four-year-olds, as 15-year-olds, it ran the gamut. We were beaten with switches, with belts. My cousin Buki and I chopped down the family tree and burned it the day after my uncle died and was buried.
Get rid of the switches.
We got rid of mm-hmm. the switches. And so, in a way, we were symbolically burning them for the generations that came behind us. And so I think that parents need to think more broadly about how they're engaging their children. Again, I'll say, if you feel like you have to strike or knock down a 15-year-old, you need to look at your behaviors leading up to that. To see that if you feel like that's the option that you have.
George, what about a parent like our caller who may feel up against it at some point, like they don't have a limitless number of subtle options?
Well, interestingly, both callers brought up the issue of respect. And one of the big problems is that children are not adequately respected and recognized as individuals early on in life and brought up in a cooperative relationship, so that you don't have to feel your child is being disrespectful. No one who advocates not spanking says we should not guide and discipline our children, but we just believe it should be done in a respectful way that avoids punitive, painful discipline, which is not respectful of a child, and they will resent and they will react negatively to and not develop that good relationship with the parent.
And Camille says it's not discipline, it's just venting of frustration. What about that?
That's very common. That is the most, what happens in these discipline interactions is parents get very angry and lash out at the child, not in a calm fashion.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this time with the NFL's Adrian Peterson and the hot issue of corporal punishment for children, spanking, the switch. You can join us this hour with Goldie Taylor, MSNBC contributor, joining us from Atlanta, Georgia. Elizabeth Gershaw from the University of Texas at Austin joins us from Austin. George Holden is with us from Dallas. He's a professor of psychology at SMU, author of Parenting, A Dynamic Perspective, and he says, no thanks. Lots of response online. Kurt says, I wasn't hit growing up. When talking about this with friends, they all were. Seth says, why is it okay to hit children and no one else? Brian in Dover, Ohio. Brian, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I was brought up being spanked. I mean, that was just kind of normal. But as a father myself now, I've spanked my daughter one time, and that one time was enough to convince me to never do it again. The guilt that I felt myself as soon as my hand hit her was just almost overwhelming. I've kind of found that you can do things like take away a toy, turn off the TV, go sit in time out, set an early bedtime. And those are things that you can stretch out over a week or a few days or even just a few hours. A spanking, that initial pain, as long as you're not causing lacerations and serious pain, that goes away after a minute. I feel like there's other ways to really reinforce, punish for bad behavior that can really get through just with a span of time. And as the behavior starts to change, things start getting earned back.
Physical. Brian, we've got it. Elizabeth Gershoff, what is it that tends to change people's minds on this? Because, as you say, it's often modeled. People do what their parents did. And if we understand things differently now, I mean, Brian did it once, felt terrible, doesn't do it anymore. In your experience, what turns people away, if they turn away, Elizabeth?
Yeah, well, actually, George and I did some research on this many years ago and found that when we asked parents who had stopped spanking why they did it, and the leading reason was they felt terrible about what it did to their children. They didn't like hurting their children. They saw their children crying. They saw their children afraid of them, and they didn't like that. And at that point, they decided to kind of break that cycle and not repeat it in the next generation. And many parents also feel guilty, the way Brian did, our caller. And they also see that it's not working. They see that they have to keep hitting. They see that the kids are not listening to them. They're not learning the lesson they want. And so they might be realizing, let me try something else because I don't feel right about it and it doesn't seem to work, so let me try something else.
I mean, you've got people who have said no thanks in big numbers, including among professional athletes, former NFL New York Jets quarterback. We saw on the Sport Hub's Toucher and Rich show Monday morning, CBS football analyst, WFAN radio host Boomer Esiason said that Adrian Peterson's upbringing, which Peterson cited, was not sufficient justification for hitting a child.
I don't buy that as an excuse. You know, Adrian Peterson is 6'1", 220-pound running back, for God's sake. And he's talking about, you know, hitting his 4-year-old son with what is known as a switch. I never even heard of a switch until the other night. And I thought that they were misspelling it in all the articles that they were writing. And then finally figured out what a switch was. And I'm saying, okay, it's a tree branch that that parents use to whip their kids. And I just found it so reprehensible and so disgusting.
Boomer Esiason saying no, thank you. Harry in Norcross, Georgia. Harry, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. I want to bring up 3 points right quick.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, when I first moved to Georgia here, I brought up this very issue with friends of mine who use belts and switches. And what they said to me was, with a hand, you risk real danger of harming a child, breaking a bone with a switch or a belt. There's not enough inertia there to do that, and it scares them. It's like hitting a dog with a newspaper. Number two, I'm calling you down a little bit here because we've just heard so much coverage of Ferguson. Mm-hmm. People have to prepare their kids for their behavior, what can happen to them out in the real world. If they go out and act this way, they're liable to get shot, not just hit with a switch or a belt. Number three, why is it that we're so concerned about this issue, whereas if we go bomb another country, we're killing kids and women, and it happens so often?
Harry, that's quite a list. I'm not sure where to begin here. Let's start in Ferguson, if we may. Goldie, I'll bring that one to you. Because in Adrian Peterson's statement that he put out, and he said, you know, this is how I was raised, and I understand it may not be the best way. But he said, I'm reading here from Adrian Peterson's statement earlier. He said, I've always believed that the way my parents disciplined me had a great deal to do with the success I've enjoyed as a man. I love my son, and I will continue to become a better parent and learn from any mistakes I ever made. But the suggestion was that this disciplining was important to his own coming up, important to his son. Our caller goes further and says, if you don't learn, it's not la-la land out there. If you don't learn that at home, you can end up shot, Goldie.
You know, I happen to have gone to high school in Ferguson, ironically enough.
Wow, okay.
My father and brother were both murdered on the streets of St. Louis. They were both disciplined as children. They were both subjected to corporal punishment. Jail cells across this country, our penal system, especially women, are filled with people who were subjected to corporal punishment. And so to say that spanking or beating a child will deter them from criminality is a falsehood, demonstrably false by all of the data that we know. And so to advance this kind of thinking, and I hear it, I still hear it in my own family to this day, despite our losses. I still see it among young children in our family, despite our losses. At a younger cousin, a third cousin, in this kind of situation, he's 5 years old. Just last weekend in a suburb of Atlanta, he burned his mother's apartment down. And I believe to this day that it was largely because of the trauma that he experiences as a child, that he is so troubled that he has begun to start fires and does not even know to this day what impact playing with fire had, doesn't know where his toys are. But the very first thing I heard his father say was, when I see him, I'm going to whip his behind.
Break the chain, that suggests, if you can. George Holden, what about our caller from Georgia saying, you know, neighbors there say, look, a switch or a belt is better than a hand. If you're going to do it, you're less likely to injure. Do you make distinctions there, George? What do you see?
Personally, I don't. I think it's just a bad practice any way you do it, and that it's not needed. In fact, recent research indicates that the more parents use physical discipline, the less the child will develop self-regulation. And that's what really we're talking about, children learning to control their behavior and be better actors and citizens. And corporal punishment, however it's delivered, is not going to contribute to that.
Elizabeth, what about our callers? You know, bomb abroad, spank at home. We're a violent country. Who's surprised by that?
Well, it is indeed troubling that we are a very violent country, and so we extend that violence to children. I think it is time for us to extend the same protection we give to adults to children. It's not okay to assault an adult. Why is it okay to assault a child? Any kind of hitting can be hurtful. I find it strange to think that an object would have less harm on a child. It's actually the opposite. Using an object is much more likely to leave some kind of injury on a child. To the caller's other point, you know, I'm very sympathetic to Black parents who feel that their communities are, you know, not supportive of their children, that there might be, they're trying to teach their children to be safe and look out for themselves, and that the community may not always be doing that. But hitting is not the way to teach that. And I find it sad because the implication is that they're saying their children only learn by violence and by hitting, which is just not true. All children learn by being taught things and through example, and no child learns better by being hit. And so regardless of their race or their religion or where they come from, no child is better off by being hit.
Bob in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Bob, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. The object thing, using an object instead of the hand. Now, we learned in martial arts, that's the whole thing with the culture of guns. It's a way to disconnect, put an object between you and the other human. That's a disconnection. It objectifies violence. We live in a society, my main point is, we live in a society that worships power. And then you have the whole phenomenon of parents really not prepared to be parents, becoming parents, and then there's no accountability. So the frustration cycle is what causes people to lash out. And, I mean, just this morning on the Tulsa NPR station, they're talking about an upcoming show they're going to do on the war on poverty. You don't make war on poverty any more than you destroy children with violence expecting them to behave better. This is ridiculous. These young people need to enroll in martial arts and get some real teachers that can teach them the difference between, you know, I mean, you know, what can I say? Talk is so much better than violence.
Bob, we've got it, and I appreciate your call. Let me get Grayson, if I may, from New Braunfels, Texas. Grayson, thank you for calling. You're on.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm a pastor at a church here in Texas, and so I'll be the first to admit that Christians have a tendency to use what's in the Bible to affirm or disaffirm whatever they want to believe from their upbringing or their background. But I think everything rises and falls on relationships, and I see a lot of times in situations like this, there's an inability to have intimacy with children, parents to children, and parents with their parents. And if there's the inability to have that connection, if there's an inability to model healthy conflict resolution, kids aren't going to learn that. They're going to learn to fear discipline. They're going to learn to fear negative interaction with their parents. Mm-hmm. And as some of the other callers have stated, they're going to connect that with violence. And, you know, you can see from any kind of modern psychology that conflict resolution and relationship building and intimacy is far more effective than responding out of anger or violence to sort things out. And if kids can learn that at a young age, they're far better predisposed to handle that early or later on in life, rather.
Grayson, I'm very grateful for that perspective, and I appreciate your call. George Holden, our time begins to trickle down. Take it from the top here. Let's say you want to put the switch, the belt, the hand off the table, and you want to have nevertheless, you want to be a good parent, you want to guide your child. Take us through the mindset for people who are listening closely here. Maybe they do this already, or maybe they're considering making this change, making this move. Take us through this kind of relationship that you imagine, that you see as the ideal for between parent and child that still allows for guidance, even for disciplining, but without corporal punishment.
Sure. This comes under what's been now called positive parenting or positive discipline. And it really begins at birth with what I mentioned earlier, respecting the individuality of the child. And then as the child begins to grow, you, as a parent, recognize his or her developmental level, and you have appropriate expectations. So you don't assume the child will comply when the child doesn't have the prefrontal cortex mm-hmm. ability to control him or herself. Mm-hmm. And you structure the environment such that he or she will rarely get into conflicts with you because you've removed the tempting objects that you don't want the child to touch. So you go through the child's development in a very intentional, strategic way, whereas, and as Grayson alluded to, you try to promote good, positive cooperative relationship is sort of the most important thing, where you're modeling a healthy behavior, as another caller talked about. You're not getting angry inappropriately. You recognize conflicts and will communicate with the child. You can raise your voice, but you never need to yell. You never need to touch the child in a negative way. And through this open communication with the child, both you and the child will have a much better, stronger, intimate relationship where the child will be much more cooperative and want to please the parent and will behave in much better ways and not show any of the negative behaviors that Elizabeth alluded to that can come from corporal punishment.
Goldie, have you managed to make it to this enlightened state in your own life?
I have. I have a 17-month-old granddaughter today, and I just could not imagine someone striking her. I could not imagine that, we would not be the kind of family that would be openly engaging of this child. I mean, I'm in the floor playing with her every day. We're reading to her. We're doing all of the things that, you know, that were, these are newly learned skills for me. No one ever read to me as a child. There was no adult ever on the floor playing with me or, you know, I was left really sort of to my own devices. So I personally have met this, I think, a level of enlightenment around this. I believe that my daughter and her better half have reached that as well. And so I think we can begin to continue that modeling in our own homes. But when I speak out about this, it's because I'd like to see other families begin to model it in their homes. I'd like to start to step back and take a hold up that mirror and take a look at themselves and take a look at their families and how they're engaging their children, you know, really on a daily basis. I just really believe that by the time you get to the point that you want to strike a child, you've missed so many steps between here and there. I have friends who will say, you know, my child needs this kind of discipline. And I'll say, well, how many PTA meetings have you been to? My child isn't doing well in school. Well, how often have you sat down with them after school to help with homework? These kinds of missed steps. And so for me personally, I've reached that. I just hope that, you know, by the sound of these voices here in this program and others, that we'll continue to help other parents advance along the way.
Goldie Taylor, in Atlanta, Georgia, MSNBC contributor, opinion writer there. Goldie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
George Holden at SMU, joining us from Dallas, Texas. Mr. Holden, thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Tom.
And Elizabeth Gershoff, do you think this Adrian Peterson story will help move the country away from this kind of physical discipline?
I certainly hope so. I hope this is a conversation that started that people will really continue in their own families.
Well, it could hardly be more prominent than it has been this week. Elizabeth Gershoff at University of Texas at Austin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.